This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
This is The Mainframe.
Welcome back to the final episode of the Arc Reactor series, and also the final episode of our adaptive content series, where we're going to be talking about creating adaptive content experiences. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm a little sad that we're coming to the end of this series. It's been a good one.
Yeah, it's actually been nice because we've been able to cover everything. And one of the things that we keep talking about over and over again is how your strategy is an attraction and a retention and a conversion strategy and automation through the whole thing. I think one of the things that we've seen over and over again and why we wanted to do this series is that people think of those as separate activities when really it's all the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like passing the baton from one runner to the next in a relay race. You have to look at the whole race. You have to look at the start, the middle, and the end. You have to pace yourself and you have to time it right. But that baton has to pass and you can't drop it, you can't throw it. And we see so many customer experiences fall because they're trying to go from the initial attraction all the way through to a sale, maybe a sale and a referral, without that middle piece, without that flow, without all that context, empathy, value, all the things that we talked about in the previous episode.
Exactly. And the idea is adapting things to the right time for your customer and the tools that are available. I mean, we see this now more than ever because of the technology. I mean, one of the greatest things in the world happened a few weeks ago. We now have Bloom County back and it's available on Facebook because Mr. Breathed can now be able to adapt his cartoons in real time to the news cycle. And it's funny that Trump kind of dragged him back in, but it's an example of the technology now at a point that allows a creator to create content for a very specific audience and to tailor it to the needs of the moment. And that's what designing an adaptive content experience is all about, really, right?
Exactly. And that's a really good example because of the disintermediation. There's no gatekeeper. Now, there's a bit of fear involved in not having that gatekeeper, especially for a cartoonist, because he's become a business person. He has to get some sort of income from it, whereas before he just had to be a creator and the syndication did the work for him. But it does mean that he can perfectly adapt his content. He doesn't have to compromise his art. He can speak to his audience because he doesn't have these third parties controlling what he says and the tone and the style and the content. So he can go after Trump if he wants to because he doesn't have to worry about some newspaper in New Jersey's advertisers.
That's right. And it's funny, one of the showrunners was talking and Tina Fey was talking about how the Kimmy Schmidt show, once it switched to Netflix, had more, they wanted to keep it somewhat older family friendly so that you could watch it with your 13-year-old kid. But they did now have freedom where they could go after people because they weren't worried about advertisers, you know, so they could no longer had to be restrained by what the network said. No, you can't say that because of this particular advertiser or something. So that these are all examples of adapting content and experience. And the things that we keep, the couple words that we keep using over and over again are context and empathy. And that's really what you should design your adaptive content experience around, right? That's what the whole strategy focuses on.
Yeah. So it's planning your content for your ideal target customer, not trying to please everybody in the world, not trying to look good to the entire planet. And it's a difficult thing because there's a sacrifice there. It's sacrificing people who would never buy from you though. So you need to have the right message at the right time for the right people, but you need to home in on who the right people are. And it takes some planning. You have to gather your assets and you have to work out your channels And then you have to, as Tony says, you need to construct a framework.
And that's kind of what we've been talking about in this entire series, but it really is important when you're adapting content for the audience. So you need to plan your priority areas because you have your attraction. So what type of content is for, you know, getting people here, the retention content that allows them to stay there, and then your landing pages to convert. And then you need to look at your sales funnels and the customer onboarding, what happens after. And this all should utilize adaptive content, right?
Yeah, it's one experience and it has to be consistent and congruent. So in the attraction, you're going to be talking about the problems you solve, who it solves it for. You're going to be using case studies and proof. It all has to be relevant to that target audience that you're trying to attract. The retention content will follow those themes and it'll remind people. It'll get people deeper. It'll give people cliffhangers that speak to the next stage, the next step. Those content landing pages and conversion landing pages. Content landing pages should be like the Wikipedia for your niche, but the conversion landing pages should be about saying that there's an option here to get even more value, even more depth, more information, a better solution that gets you into the sales funnel. It's all consistent. There's the scent of that mission that they're on, that goal at the end, the light at the end of the tunnel. But it doesn't end when they transact. Because what you want is a happy customer who's successful, who's then going to tell all the friends how awesome you are.
Exactly. And our smart, savvy listeners are probably guessing that the reason we put this at the end of the Arc Reactor series, because really this is what we've been talking about this entire time, adapting the content for the right time, whether it be attraction. So you're using your social strategies, you're using, you know, different types of attraction and advertising, SEO and organic. Then you have your retention, really solid content draws people into your funnel. And then conversion, and then post-conversion is the customer onboarding. And you see how if you have adaptive content and you create this from a series of assets. So here's an example. You have a long-form article that goes into a lot of detail. That can be broken up into small pieces that can now be shared on social media. But also, you can set it up so that when people come from different articles on the site that you've driven them to from social media to this page to better help them understand what they're doing in your world. And then as you take that same content, you use that to craft your landing page that you're driving them to. So there's congruence throughout. And then that goes into your onboarding. And the whole idea is you automate this so that when people go through each of these steps, they feel like the content has really been crafted just for them, right?
Exactly. And it could be as simple as not promoting your opt-in to people who are already on your list, all the way through to knowing what they've purchased and knowing where they came from and what the history with you is and suggesting the ideal next step. So you could be as broad or as detailed as you need to be, but it's about starting small, incrementally improving, testing and measuring, and then adding to this over time. And I think that's a good place for us to go deep into exactly how to approach this, right?
Exactly. I was just going to say, now let's talk about this framework.
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
So, Tony, where would you start if you're starting from zero and you've got some content, but you haven't fitted it into this framework? What is the first place that you should look at?
The first place you need to look at is what you currently know about your customers. And you can do that just from basic things, the types of material that's shared, the types of comments you get, or just doing some basic Google Analytics tracking of on page time and refers. And this just gives you a very brief, very basic snapshot to start from. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to understand what your customer or prospect is doing at this point and how to get them to take action to move to the next point. So you utilize these types of information. So there's two things you need to do to start. One, start gathering together your assets and looking at how you can adapt those assets for the right time. So for example, podcast or an audio content is great for listening when somebody's commuting, but you can now take that and have the transcripts turned into an ebook, for example, or into a series of small articles. So look at your older articles you have and how they can be updated, broken up, adapted into different things. So that's the first thing. Gather up your assets. Then the second thing is start inferring what your customer or different customers know and need to know to move on to the next step. And then you can start to put those together to build that basic entry framework into how I can get my customer to take action utilizing these assets that I have to move them further into the funnel.
Yeah, and getting a customer or a prospect to take action is simply putting a call to action in front of them. It's an opportunity to take action. And if they do take that action, then you've learned something valuable and hopefully delivered value to them. If they don't take action, you've also learned something valuable, right?
Exactly. When we've talked about this before, how on Mythbusters, they joke a lot of times that the things that fail, they learn more from than the things that actually work. And you learn to better build. And it's the same thing when you're talking about your audience and the types of content that gets people to take action. You can track and you can see and you can understand what people are doing when they're doing it. But on the other side, you have content, you have emails, you have just general lists of people that aren't taking the necessary action to move them through the funnel. And you can start to understand why that's happening by watching it, or you may just start adapting the content. Because remember, this framework is a framework for a reason. It's not a set in stone, this is how everything has to be, because you have to be agile. You have to be able to iterate through content to better understand what it is that's going to get people to take the next action, right?
Yeah, and a good example of that is when we talked about having email sequences, autoresponder sequences based on their inactivity. A lot of people think about having a sequence based on the action that they did take, but what about all the people who are sat there on the list, they haven't taken the action, they've not opted into the next thing, they've not purchased, they've not registered for the webinar, they've not attended your Q&A, they've not emailed you a question. What about the people who haven't taken an action? You don't want to leave them languishing and ignore them. That could be 95% of your audience. So you have a nurturing sequence that tries to encourage them to take an action. But then if they still don't take an action, maybe it's because they don't like video or audio. Maybe they're not readers. They do like audio or video. Or maybe they like the live experience and you need to encourage them onto webinars, but you're doing it at the wrong time. You know, you're doing it at 10 Eastern when really they need it to be at 8 p.m. You can learn a lot from that, but also through their actual triggers, through their actual actions, you can tailor it to that individual. And that's where the adaptive content gets really powerful, right?
Exactly. Because you want to segment based on what actions people are taking or the lack of action. Because one of the things you can do as well is you can start moving a group further into the funnel. And then that group that does not take an action, they just may not be the right customer for you or the right prospect for you. And they can, you know, unsubscribe or they can stay on the list and get the free content. Maybe they're just free content people. They just like what you're producing there, but they have no intention of moving further. And by segmenting those out, you're able to provide a richer experience for those people who do take action so that you can further nurture them into the funnel to allow them to take the kind of actions you want, right?
Exactly. And it could be just not the right time for them. So you don't want to ditch them. There's so many gurus that actually recommend cleaning, in quotes, their list. But we've had people who have joined lists and then purchased 3 years later. The time was right, but not on our time frame, but on their schedule. So don't abandon people, but you do want to focus on the action takers right now. And you need to give them what they need. So it's kind of a no prospect left behind thing, but you don't want the people who are ready to take action to have their time frame set by the people who are not taking action. And that's why one-size-fits-all content is really going to hold you back, and it doesn't allow you to scale. You do need to tailor these segments and to individuals if you can.
That's true. And another way to think about it is, if you have a lot of detailed content, you don't want to overwhelm somebody who's at the early phase of your funnel and may not be ready for that content. Or if you want to think about it selfishly, here's somebody who's not taking any action. So why do you want to give away all your, you know, your juicy content? So you need to think about, the further down the funnel people go, the wider, the better your content gets. So it's kind of like the content gets bigger as your funnel gets smaller. And it's a way to provide more rich and more informative content for people who have continued to take action and moved through. That's what this framework is all about. It's basically, if you think of two funnels facing the opposite side. So one funnel with the spout up is your content. The funnel with the spout down is your actual sales funnel. So as your people move down into the sales funnel, the amount of content and information and the more rich experience you provide them gets wider. Because really, there's two reasons for that. One, you don't want to waste your best content on somebody who's really not interested and is not your customer. But if you also look at it from the customer's point of view, if they're not ready for that level of detail, that level of rich content, it may overwhelm them and they may never move forward. So that it becomes a more detailed as you go. And then as you also do that, you gain more details about the customer. And that's why we're really big on the whole membership model as an opt-in approach, right?
Exactly. We learn so much more about the individual's wants and needs. But also they're more willing to give that information because they're more invested in the process. And the more invested they are in the process, the more consumption and action and results will happen for them. We often talk about the problem with free information is the level of trust is low. And I've seen it with my premium products. If I've given somebody it as a gift, if I've taken pity on them, and I've let them into one of my programs for free, they don't take action on it. And sometimes I've been shocked how they will resent it. But somebody who invests their own money or actually invests time or takes a lot of steps, jumps through some hoops to get the information, they're more invested, they actually take action, and then they get the results. So you don't want to overwhelm people for free at the start of the process. After they've got to know you a bit, after they're taking some action, you can start layering on the detail. And as Tony says, at the same time, you're learning so much about them. And if you do use the membership model, and some of the tools we're building for Rainmaker will allow you to do this in an automated way, you can gather that information through inference, through inferring, and also through their actions, and also through them filling out information. For example, view their postal address or their business industry. That's useful information to know that they'll have to type in. But what they're interested in and the things that they take action on, you can infer.
That's true. And also, when somebody makes that level of commitment, it allows you to understand that this is a prospect who has moved farther into the process and is interested in purchasing. And then also, of course, this also applies to people who have made the purchase. So your actual customers who have bought from you, and then your repeat customers, you can provide other information based on, you know, what it is that you're providing, the types of products and services you have. So you think about this as you're developing the relationship. And as you develop the relationship, the amount of information that you have available to them and the types of content experience you have for them grows and becomes more rich. And just as Chris said, I mean, we've seen this over and over again, and you'll hear about this, you know, in articles about free products, that when somebody gets something for free or when they beg to get into something after the fact, you're going to find that they're less committed and you're going to have higher refund rates. You're going to have people that are, you know, not as involved, not as active in the process. But if you can try to attract the right audience and then you use the content to flow them through, by the time they get to the sign-up point or the purchase point, they feel confident that they made the right choice, and they are now part of that community. And that's what using adaptive content as your sales tool versus marketing automation, who's really designed to turn over to a sales team, is why this works best for content creators and small businesses that can kind of adapt everything to develop a community.
That's right. And So we get to the last piece of this framework, which is the observation and optimization piece. So what do we do when we get to this place where we've built some nurturing sequences, both for the people who take action and don't take action? We've been adding some detail. What do we do then? Where do we go?
This is where it's really important to track and measure what people are doing. So this is where the actions that you're taking apply to the actions they're taking. And this is where the adaptive part of the content comes in. So you're measuring content and you're changing the content or providing more, providing less, providing different branching choices based on actions people are taking. So measurement is very important. You also optimize that experience. So as somebody gets more familiar with your offering and move further into the funnel, you're optimizing that content for them so they now understand. You don't have to keep explaining over and over again. I mean, imagine if you watched a show and you had to over and over again see the pilot introduction of the characters every single time. It would be very annoying. I mean, even in a pilot, it's annoying. So you want to optimize the content for your prospect or your customer as they moved through it to better cater to what they're using. And it also allows you to focus that content better to move them in a direction you want, either to a purchase or further into the funnel, more engagement with your community. So this is where that final piece is very important, because this is really a cycle. It's all an iteration. You set up all your content and the first steps we've talked about in this framework, but you have to measure so that you know how to really adapt that content. That's the adaptive part of this, right?
Yeah, and it's adapting to the audience, but also being agile about what the best opportunities for your long-term business goals are, and really focusing on where we can get the best bang for the buck. Because you can have so many opportunities, but there's going to be an audience you can most reach, most easily help, get the best results with. And they're going to be the people that you want to focus on. We talked previously in an episode about segmentation. Who are your 20% customers who are going to give you 80% of your business? Who are going to be the lowest support burden, but also the ones that are most pleasurable to work with and who you can get the best results for? And how does that fit into your long-term business goals? Because there's so much emphasis on that quick win, that short-term sale, the pressure selling techniques, hypnotic sales language. Very few people focus on what happens after the sale and the long-term business and how you can actually build a business rather than just sell a one-time product.
Absolutely. So really, to sum up the entire framework, the basic concept of the framework is, first, you need to plan your priority areas. So what is it that you're doing with each piece of content? Is it for attraction, retention, conversion? Is it move them further into the sales funnel, or is it more of an introductory thing? And then after purchase, customer onboarding or membership onboarding, and how to move them into the funnel. So that's what priority are you setting for each piece of content? The second thing is you need to start inferring from the types of actions or inactions that your customers or prospects are taking so that you know how to adapt that content for their right time, and also to look for opportunities where you can sort of change content and adapt content to better further your goals and your customers' goals. And then finally, you need to build on this information as you learn to better understand where they are, and use the concept of the two reverse funnels. One, as you're coming into the funnel, you're giving more content, less content in the beginning so you don't overwhelm, and you measure all of this through. Track, see what they're doing, see how they're doing it, continue to optimize the content, and continue to adapt it to better fit the customer for the right time. So that wraps up this Arc Reactor series and our adaptive content series. Coming up next, we're going to do a short series on measuring and optimizing through your entire process.